All right, wine enthusiasts, are you ready? After our deep dives into Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, we are tackling another white wine favorite, Riesling. Imagine you're about to open a bottle. What should you expect?
What's fascinating about Riesling is the sheer variety you encounter even before you take a sip.
So true. Today we're going to break down everything from the grape itself to the taste profile, aging potential, even the top producers around the world.
By the end of this deep dive, you'll be able to impress your friends with your Riesling knowledge.
Exactly. First things first, what grape are we actually dealing with when we talk about Riesling?
It seems like a basic question, but...
Is it that straightforward?
It is! Thankfully, Riesling wine is made from the Riesling grape.
Okay, good.
Sometimes wine names can be tricky, but not in this case.
That's good to know.
One of our sources today, Wine Grapes, is a fantastic resource for understanding these nuances, especially when it comes to grape distribution.
Speaking of wine grapes, I noticed they mentioned a bunch of different names for Riesling, like at least 10 synonyms. Rinsky.
Riesling.
Riesling or Rinsky. Even Riesling Lion.
Really?
Yeah. What's the deal with that?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it actually tells a story about the history of winemaking.
Okay.
As grapes traveled and were cultivated in different regions, they picked up different names.
Oh, so it's like...
So you might see Riesling Rinsky on a bottle from a specific region, but it's still the same Riesling grape we're talking about.
So when you're browsing for Riesling, don't be thrown off by these regional names. Just remember to look for those key root words like Riesling or Riesling.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now I'm really curious, what can we expect when we finally pop open that bottle of Riesling?
Prepare for an explosion of flavor.
Wow.
Riesling is famous for its vibrant acidity, and here's the exciting part. It comes in a spectrum of sweetness levels.
Okay.
You could have a bone-dry Riesling or one that's lusciously sweet.
So two bottles of Riesling could be totally different experiences.
Absolutely. Think of a dry Riesling like biting into a tart green apple.
Okay.
It's all about that mouth-watering acidity.
I can almost taste it.
On the other hand, a sweeter Riesling is more like honey drizzled over ripe peaches with a lovely balanced sweetness.
Okay, I'm starting to understand why people say Rieslings are so food friendly.
Exactly.
That range allows it to complement a huge variety of dishes.
Which, as you know, is a surefire way to impress at your next dinner party.
All right, mental notes, stock up on Riesling.
Yeah.
But let's talk about cellaring.
Okay.
We know some white wines are best enjoyed young, while others get better with age. Where does Riesling fit into all of this?
Riesling is interesting because it has the potential to age beautifully.
Interesting.
Remember that vibrant acidity we talked about? Well, that acts as a natural preservative, allowing these wines to develop amazing complexity over time.
So the same thing that makes it so refreshing also helps it age gracefully.
Exactly. And there's a fun fact from winescience.pt3.pdf.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sometimes you'll see harmless crystals forming in the bottle as a Riesling ages. It's totally normal and actually a sign of a mature wine.
Crystals in my wine.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. It's like a visual reminder that it's been on a journey.
I like that.
And as Riesling ages, those flavors transform. You might start to pick up notes of honey-dried fruit.
Yeah.
And even something unexpected, petrol.
Yes.
Wait, petrol. Like gasoline. I'm not sure I'd want that in my wine.
It sounds strange, but trust me, it's a subtle aroma, often compared to the smell of a freshly paved road after rain.
Okay, you've piqued my curiosity. I want to keep an open mind about that one.
The best way to understand it is to try it yourself. Tasting a young Riesling alongside an aged one will really highlight those fascinating differences.
Noted. Speaking of exploring, where are the best places to look for top quality Riesling?
Let's turn back to uopwinegrapes-ebook.pdf for this one.
Okay.
It breaks down global wine grape distribution. While Riesling has grown all over, some regions have truly become synonymous with producing exceptional examples.
Yeah, I'm ready for a geography lesson.
First up, we have to talk about Germany, especially the Moselle region.
The Mosel.
Think of steep, slate-covered slopes along a beautiful river that's the unique environment or terroir that shapes the character of Moselle Rieslings.
So the place where the grapes are grown really makes a difference.
It does. And while German Rieslings are often lighter and more delicate, Alsace, France is known for producing drier, more aromatic Rieslings.
Really?
They have a sunny climate and unique soil composition that give the wines a distinct personality.
So I'm already seeing how diverse Riesling can be. Are there any other regions we should have on our radar?
Don't forget about Austria. Winescience.pte1.pdf actually touches on this. Austria has a long history of viticulture, and the Rieslings often have something called a Sylvestris character,
Sylvestris.
hinting at possible origins from wild grapevines.
That sounds wild, literally. What does it mean in terms of taste?
It's subtle, but it adds a certain complexity to the wine. We'll delve deeper into that later.
Fair.
Now just know that Austrian Rieslings can be a really fascinating discovery.
All right, I'm adding Austria to my wine travel bucket list. We've covered acidity, sweetness, aging, and even some key regions. But I need more specifics. What actual flavors should I be looking for when I take that first sip of Riesling?
Now we're getting to the heart of the Riesling experience.
Hit me with those tasting notes.
Think of it in layers. First, you have the primary aromas, fresh fruit, like green apple, pear, citrus, even delicate florals like honeysuckle or jasmine.
That sounds super refreshing. What comes next?
As the wine ferments, secondary aromas develop. You might get hints of honeybee's wax, and yes, even that petrol note we discussed earlier in those aged bottles.
Okay, so we're going from fresh fruit to honey and petrol. What a journey. What about those aged Rieslings we talked about? What happens to the flavors as they spend time in the cellar?
That's where the tertiary aromas come in the final stage of flavor development. Think dried fruit spices, even toasty notes from the wine's interaction with oxygen.
Wow, it's like a whole evolution of flavor.
Exactly. And the more you pay attention to these different layers of aroma, the more you'll appreciate the complexity of Riesling.
Okay, I'm officially excited to try all of this.
Yeah.
But there's one more thing. You mentioned that Sylvestris character in Austrian Rieslings.
Yes!
I'm dying to know more about that.
Let's dive into that in part two.
All right, listeners. You heard it here first. We're just getting started with our Riesling deep dive. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll uncover even more secrets about this amazing wine.
Welcome back to our Riesling deep dive. Before we jump back into Sylvestris, let's talk about how you can actually use all of this knowledge. Imagine you're at the store facing a wall of wine. How do you actually choose a bottle of Riesling?
That's a good question, because sometimes those labels can feel overwhelming.
Absolutely. First, remember those regional names. Double check that label to make sure you're actually getting a true Riesling.
So I'm on the lookout for Riesling itself or any of those sneaky synonyms.
Exactly. Next, think about the style you're after. Do you want something crisp and dry or a bit sweeter?
How can I figure that out from the label?
There isn't always a standardized sweetness scale, but some producers, especially in Germany, might use terms like Trocken for dry or Lieblich for sweet.
Okay, so a little German vocabulary lesson might come in handy. What else should I be thinking about?
Region can be a clue. German Rieslings, especially from the Mosel, are often lighter bodied.
And we know Alsace tends towards drier, more aromatic styles.
Right. And don't forget about Austria with that unique Sylvestris character we discussed.
Okay, I'm feeling more confident already. But let's talk food pairings. We know Riesling is versatile, but what are some classic matches?
Riesling is fantastic with spicy food. That vibrant acidity and touch of sweetness cuts through the heat beautifully.
Oh, so like Thai food, Indian curries?
Exactly. Yeah. It also shines with Asian cuisine in general, sushi, stir fries, even Vietnamese pho.
Interesting. I never would have thought of those pairings.
And closer to home, don't underestimate Riesling with roast pork or chicken. The acidity cuts through the richness while the fruit flavors complement the savory notes.
Okay, this is making me hungry.
And cheese. Riesling's sweetness is delicious with creamy cheeses like brie.
Seriously, Riesling sounds like the perfect pairing for everything.
It does have a lot to offer. Mm. And those aged Riesling with their complex notes of honey and petrol can even elevate dishes like foie gras or pâté.
Now that's a fancy pairing.
It is. But even without the fancy food, aged Rieslings are an adventure.
It's amazing how this one wine can go from a refreshing fruity sip to something so complex and layered over time.
That's the beauty of it. Now, before we move on, you had a question about those Sylvestris characters and whether it means there are wild Riesling grapes out there.
Yes. I'm really curious about that connection to wild vines.
It's a fascinating topic that takes us deep into the world of grapevine history and genetics. Remember how wine grapes focuses on distribution? Well, Wine Science PD1.pdf takes it a step further.
Okay, so there's more to the story than just where grapes are grown.
Absolutely. Imagine Europe. Thousands of years ago, before humans started cultivating grapevines, wild grapevines called Vitis vinifera sylvestris were growing all over.
So these were like the original ancient ancestors of the grapes we have today.
Exactly. They had smaller berries, thicker skins, and higher acidity. Not exactly something you'd want to snack on.
I can imagine.
But these wild vines were tough and adaptable. Eventually, humans recognized their potential for making wine.
So that's where things started to change.
Yes. Humans started selectively breeding those wild vines, choosing the ones with desirable traits, like larger berries and sweeter flavors. Over centuries, this led to the domesticated grapevines we have today.
So we're talking of the birth of viticulture, the deliberate cultivation of grapes for wine.
Precisely. But here's the interesting part. Those wild Sylvestris vines didn't just disappear. They continued to grow, sometimes even mixing with the domesticated vines.
Wait, so those wild characteristics could have snuck back into the mix.
Exactly. And that's where we get those Sylvestris characters in some wines, like those Austrian Rieslings we mentioned. They're like echoes of those ancient ancestors, adding a layer of complexity.
That's so cool. It's like a taste of history in every glass. But going back to my original question, are there actually wild Riesling grapes out there somewhere?
That's where things get a little mysterious. We know there are wild Sylvestris vines, and Riesling likely descended from them. But we haven't found a specific wild Riesling population.
So it's like a botanical treasure hunt waiting to happen. Are researchers actually looking for these wild Riesling vines?
They are, and that's what makes viticulture so captivating. Even with all of our technology and knowledge, there are still mysteries to uncover.
This is blowing my mind. I never thought a simple glass of wine could have such a deep history.
It really highlights the interconnectedness of nature history and human ingenuity.
Well said. But before we get too philosophical, I think we need to move on to part three. We still have those unexpected facts and listener questions to tackle. Stay tuned, everyone. Welcome back, Riesling Explorers. We've journeyed through case profiles, regions, even the fascinating history of wild grapevines.
Wow.
It's time for the grand finale, those unexpected facts and listener questions.
I love this part. It's where we can really dive into the nuances and address those burning curiosities.
Exactly. So hit me with an unexpected fact that'll make me sound like a true Riesling aficionado.
Okay, how about this? Riesling is often called the chameleon of grapes.
A chameleon.
Because of its incredible ability to reflect the terroir, the specific environment where it's grown.
Okay, that's a great analogy. But what does it actually mean in terms of the wine?
It means that the soil, climate, altitude, even the angle of the slopes, all influence the final flavor profile of a Riesling.
So it's not just about the grape itself. It's about where it's grown and how it interacts with its surroundings.
Precisely. A Riesling from a cool, slate-covered hillside will taste completely different from one grown in a warm, sunny valley. It's like the grape is absorbing the personality of its environment.
Wow, that makes so much sense. I'm starting to see why Riesling is so complex and fascinating.
And speaking of complexity, let's revisit those petrol notes we talked about earlier.
Yes.
It's a question we get a lot from listeners.
Right. Is it a good thing? A bad thing? Should I be looking for it or avoiding it?
It's definitely a polarizing aroma.
Yeah.
But there's a fascinating scientific explanation behind it.
Okay, give me the science.
Those petrol-like aromas come from a compound called TDN, which develops as the wine ages. And here's the interesting part. TDN is actually a precursor to kerosene.
Hold on, kerosene. You're telling me there's a hint of jet fuel in my aged Riesling.
It might sound strange, but it's true. Don't worry, it's all about concentration. In aged Riesling, the TDN levels are incredibly low, creating just a subtle, almost floral note that some people associate with petrol or kerosene.
So it's more of a whisper than a shout.
Mm.
And for some people, it's actually a positive thing.
Exactly. For many Riesling enthusiasts, those petrol notes are a sign of complexity and maturity, a hallmark of a well-aged wine.
I guess it's all about personal preference.
Mm.
I'm feeling more open-minded about it now.
That's great to hear. Now let's move on to some listener questions.
Okay, sounds good.
One we often receive is about serving temperature.
Ah, yes. Does Riesling have any special serving requirements?
It does. Riesling is best served chilled, but not too cold. Aim for around 45-50 degrees Fahrenheit.
So colder than room temperature, but not ice cold.
Exactly. Serving it too cold will mask those delicate aromas and flavors.
Got it. What other questions are we tackling today?
Another common one is about decanting.
Decanting? Isn't that usually for big, bold red wines? Do we need to decant Riesling?
For younger Rieslings, decanting isn't really necessary.
Yeah.
But if you have an older bottle, especially one that's been cellared for a long time, decanting can help open up those complex aromas and soften any harsh tannins.
So it's more about giving those older bottles a chance to breathe.
Exactly. It allows those aged Rieslings to fully express themselves.
This has been an incredible deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much about Riesling, from the grape itself to those unexpected petrol notes and everything in between.
And don't forget those wild grapevines.
Oh, yeah. and all those regional variations.
It's been a pleasure exploring the world of Riesling with you.
And with our listeners. So to all the wine enthusiasts out there, don't be afraid to experiment with different styles of Riesling.
There's a whole world of flavors waiting to be discovered.
It's exactly. And that brings our Riesling deep dive to a close. Remember, the journey of wine discovery never truly ends, so stay curious, keep exploring, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive into the fascinating world of wine. Cheers.